we had our first faith promise all about 40 years ago. We took in $5,000 the first year as far as, and I set a goal of $100,000, but we're total offerings were just $50,000 a year then, and I thought that would be almost a miracle if we ever got $100,000. This year we're shooting for over $300,000. So one of the great joys of my life is getting involved 40 years ago in a faith mission program, Faith Promise Mission Program here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And listen, don't want to keep you all night, so let's get right to it. Let's bow our heads and ask God to bless. I want to challenge you for missions tonight. And to reach in, missions is reaching people for Christ. That's what missions is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and around the world through the Faith Promise Program of Buffalo Ridge. Lord, our hearts rejoice. We praise you for breathing upon us and helping us. Now, Lord, blessing this service now, as I open the Word of God, Lord, I need your help. I can't preach without your help. Would you anoint me to help me? Bless these dear people, and may they get under the burden, Lord, for our Faith Promise offering this Sunday, where we'll be giving thousands of dollars to around the world to reach people for Jesus Christ in the next 12 months. Anoint the Word as it goes out tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. 2 Kings. I don't guess anybody's used this here, have you? 2 Kings. I'm just going to, for sake of time, now I'll tell you what, you just forget the time, and I will too. That'll be, and I'm gonna get this message across tonight. In 2 Kings 7, let me just give you the starting in 2 Kings 6, verse 24 through chapter 7, the first 13 verses, is the story tonight. And you know this story of how that King Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, had had his army, and they had besieged the city of Samaria, the capital city of Israel, northern Israel, northern kingdom there. And they had besieged this city, and a great famine had come on the scene, and all the food was gone. And they even were killing their own babies for food. And so the king said tomorrow, he said, I'm gonna have the head of Elisha. It's going to roll off his head. And so Elisha was in a house with some of the elders of Israel. And so we pick up now, there was a messenger coming, a Lord coming to get him, and the king was right behind him. And so when he got there, Elisha said, just take him and shut the door. And then in look at chapter 7, verse 1. Then, now keep in mind that people were starving to death in Samaria, and they were besieged by the Syrian army. Then Elisha said, hear you the word of the Lord. 2 Kings 7, 1. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the city of Samaria. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And he said, and Elisha told him, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, thou shalt not eat thereof. Now, let me just, I'll read some of these verses in my message. Let me just tell you exactly what happened. You know this story. You've heard it down through the years. But there were four lepers right outside the gate of the city. They were starving to death. They said, well, if we stay here, we'll starve. If we go into the city, there's nothing to eat, we'll starve in there. And if we go out among the Assyrians, we may die, but then they may have food for us. So they went. So they started toward the Assyrian army, and all of a sudden, the Lord made the host to hear a great noise, and they thought it was some other troops coming, Hittites and Egyptians coming in, and so they took off, and they left all that had all kind of stores of food and ammunition, everything, and so they left all that, And then the lepers went in, the four lepers went in and started eating, and then went back into the city and told them about all the food and how that God had performed a miracle. Now, in these verses, I'd like to read them. I'm going to take 5-10 minutes to read all those verses. But there are a lot of principles that I want to give you tonight, and some parallels in witnessing and carrying out the Great Commission that we see in this story. Jesus gave us the Great Commission in Mark 16:15 when he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And as we look at this miracle here in chapter 7, a miracle of God through the prophet Elijah, then there are two things we need to consider in taking the gospel around the world to every creature. First of all, man's great need. And second, God's provision. First of all, man's need. Look at chapter 6, verse 24, and we see a vivid description of the need of the people of Samaria. "And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all the host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and a fourth part of cow dove's dung for 5 pieces of..." The things were in pretty bad shape. All they had donkey's head and dove's dung to eat in the city there. So you can see what a great need that was there. And the army of King of the Syria, King Ben-Hadad, had laid siege to this, and they were starving them into surrender. Food was scarce, and as I've said, so bad that the mothers were eating their own children. Now this is a picture of the need of our world today. A few years ago, the U.S. News and World Report said hunger is the world's number one problem. Greater than nuclear war. Millions go to bed hungry around the world every night. And here we're living in a land of plenty in America. We know little about the hunger and the gnawing pain of that some of the stomachs of people around the world, especially in Africa and Asia. Here in America, we count our calories, try to eat less fat or no fat items. Lady down at White's one day, she was saying, "I drink a Diet Coke with my candy bar." And I said, "Well, it's better than drinking a regular Coke with that candy bar anyway." And laughed and went on. But anyway, there's a greater worldwide hunger than for food this evening around the world. Unsaved men and women, boys and girls, by the billions. Now, not millions, but it's billions now. Billions. There's a hunger, even though they don't even realize it, that they're starving and hungering for the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Now there's three things about the famine in the city of Samaria that I want to apply tonight to the need of men around the world. First of all, they're all-inclusive predicament. There was little or no food in the city, and they were all suffering together. Over in Russia, down in Africa, South America, North America, people everywhere have one thing in common. And they may differ in color, their skin, or culture, or language, or dress. But Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that's why we have missions around the world. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Around the world, men everywhere have this same need. They're sinners and lost without Jesus Christ. And they all have a deep-seated hunger that only Christ can satisfy. Just think, over 6 billion people in the world, and only Jesus really satisfied. We all have that in common. The Bible teaches that all men are sinners and they need the bread of life. Men everywhere have this same need. Then notice the second thing, the awful prospects. Everyone in the city of Samaria faced the prospect of death. From the king on the throne to the most humble citizen, everyone would fall victim to the grim reaper as food run out. Members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, I want you to see why we're having a faith promise Sunday, next Sunday. The peoples of the world may differ in many ways, and they are. Their skin may be different, their language is different, but there's two things they have in common. The people, all of these flags around here. I hope you, Holy Spirit, can just burden your heart. And all the peoples represented by these flags have two things in common. First of all, the peoples in all of these countries, number one, they're sinners in the sight of God. And number two, Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. All of these dear people, the millions and millions of people in these, representing these flags here, they're sinners, and they're going to face God. They're going to die and face God in judgment someday. And you know, as we sit here tonight, and as we, every breath, now just get this, every breath we take tonight, every breath, seven or eight people are slipping out into eternity. Every breath, and going out to eternity without God, without Christ, without hope. Billy Sunday, a man, he was in a hotel room one time in a city where he was holding a great crusade. A man went to visit him. He said, Mr. Sunday, he said, what is the secret to your success? And Billy Sunday walked over and said, come over here. And he walked over to the window. Down below, hundreds of people were walking by. And he was standing there weeping with tears flowing down from his face. And he said, they're lost. They're lost. And the secret to his success, he was a burden to see people saved. And the secret to the success of our faith promise Sunday, next Sunday, is this. If our people, folks, we'll have a great faith promise this Sunday if we'll see a world out there. Just visualize all these millions and millions of people these flags represent. If you can just see, let it grip you, let the Holy Spirit grip you tonight. They're lost and they're dropping into hell every time we have a breath, lost, without God, without Christ, without hope. And you won't have any problem being generous and sacrificial in your commitment to faith promise this Sunday, if it grips your heart that thousands of people are dropping into hell every day all around the world. And the third thing about the need, great need we face worldwide, is the awesome possibility. The Syrian army had surrounded the city of Samaria. Hunger was raging, and the food supplies were almost gone. And there was no human possibility. The Syrian army had them besieged around. And there was no human possibility of meeting their great need. They were starving to death. As a king of Israel walked by, a lady said, help my lord, O king. And look at his answer in chapter 6, verse 27. And he, the king of Israel now, was in the city under siege. He said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee, out of the barn floor or out of the winepress? And as we look over the needs of the world this evening, you know, it's almost overwhelming as we think of all the needs represented by these flags here. Millions and billions are in spiritual darkness, without God, without Christ. And there's so few willing to go and tell them about Jesus. Want to stay home and enjoy the comforts of our society and our friends and our homes, and the funds are scarce. Church members spend more on dog food than they do on missions. That's okay if you had a good hound dog. Now I'm not against that, but just think the task of reaching just these countries that we send missionaries to, the task of world missions is humanly impossible. It's humanly impossible. As Brother Harry Vickers has ministries in Asia and over in Russia, and Brother Nathan knows about the great need down in Brazil, and Butch Abbott in France, what a great need's over there. And It's almost, it's a human impossibility to reach these people. It seems like it's an impossibility. And our only resource is the Lord God of heaven. Daniel 2:28 says, but there is a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. And if we get the power of God on us and the blessing of God on us, we can reach people in all these countries for Jesus Christ. I believe as Hudson Taylor, the great missionary of China, said, we must go forward on our knees. On our knees. And it's so in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It's so in the Spanish church. It's around the world. If we go forward, we must go forward on our knees. We need the power of God and the blessing of God. Brother, you take God out of the equation of world evangelization, and there's no hope for reaching a world for Jesus Christ. So the great need out there, represented by these people in this besieged city of Samaria. Then secondly, a second thing I want us to consider is God's provision. The problem facing world evangelism is overwhelming. I mean, just over in Southeast Asia, in India, there are people there by the millions everywhere you turn. The problem is overwhelming. It's awesome. It's seemingly impossible. Brother Graham Ford, down in the city of São Paulo, Brazil, in a city of, I think it's 18 million in the city and 22 or 23 million in greater São Paulo. And the city is rife with poverty and superstition and darkness and crime. And God has blessed Brother Graham Ford in his ministry. They started 4 churches. And he's won many to Christ. But if there were 1,000 Graham Thorns in that great city winning 100 people to Christ a year, brother, it would make a dent in São Paulo. Brother Harry Vickers has a great worldwide ministry. We've gone to Russia 4 times and seen hundreds saved. But there's millions still unreached in Russia. Communism is failing. Russian Orthodox Church is failing. And they're in Russia, living and dying without Jesus Christ. And Brother Scotty Carey left this church and went off and trained and went to and spent 30 years in New Guinea, in Papua New Guinea, back in the bush and in the mountains there. Had a great ministry, many souls saved, and started many churches, and had a Bible Institute there, and won a multitude of souls. But he came home after 30 years, and his heart still is broken for the millions in that area without Jesus Christ. And even though the problem of world evangelism is overwhelming, the Lord has made an adequate provision to meet the needs of every hungry heart on the face of the globe this evening. There's hope for a lost world. The Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, is able to meet the need of every soul on planet earth. He's able to do it. Jesus said in John 6:33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. The miraculous provision for the hungry and stricken people of the city of Samaria pictures the truth of God's provision for a lost world. First of all, I want you to see the provision predicted. Look there in 2 Kings 7, verse 1. Notice the very first word, then. When the people of Samaria came to the point of helplessness and hopelessness, when all looked like all hope was gone, they're going to perish from lack of food, they're going to starve to death, then look at what verse 1. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, now get them to see the picture. The city was starving to death, nothing to eat, nothing to eat. But now Elisha, at the right moment, said, tomorrow, God's man with God's message. And that's what they need around the world, God's man with God's message. And Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the city gate of Samaria. So, thank God, provision has been made, folks. provision has been made for every lost man and woman, boy or girl on the face of the earth. I'm glad to report tonight a Savior has come. A Savior has come, and His name is Jesus. He's God's provision for a lost world. When Jesus walked up to John the Baptist, they're baptizing on at the River Jordan, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The only hope for 6 billion people on the face of the earth tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other hope. No other hope. Oh, hallelujah. I'm one more sing or not. I'm just going to slow down and try to get to, I think, listen to this song. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-pierced. His side was riven. He gave His life's blood for even thee.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Take a poor lost sinner. Lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Jesus rescued me. 1 John 2:2 said, "And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Sorry about that, you Calvinists. I mean, that's a bunch of junk. Christ died for the elect. When the Bible says He died for the sins of the whole world. Well, I won't get off on that. I'll leave that to Brother Jody. I'll let him take care of that. But a second thing, the provision protested in verse 2. Look at there. After God's man said there's going to be food for everybody tomorrow, then look at verse 2 in chapter 7. Then the Lord on whose hand, I don't know when I started, I don't know when I'm going to quit, Brother Jody. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned. I'm just sort of getting wound up now. Yes, sir. That's what I'm trying to do. Hallelujah. King James Version. That's all I know to preach. Thus saith the Lord. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof." Now, there always has been. As soon as Elisha told the king of Israel that tomorrow the famine will be, the famine will be over and there's going to be plenty to eat, there was a mocking, just right then, there was a mocking denial on the part of one of the king's nobles. You know, there's always been protest and opposition from carnal church members to God's great program world evangelization. You know, I've heard it when we started here, Brother Jody. Charity begins at home. I've heard that. Yes, it does. We do need strong churches in America. We need that. But it doesn't stop at home, folks. We can't stop here. Souls are perishing around the globe, and it's the responsibility of everyone sitting in this auditorium here tonight. It's your responsibility to try to get the message of Jesus to. I know years ago, about 40 years ago now, when I started, the Lord laid it on my heart to start Faith Promise World Mission Program here. You know, you can, good people, you can't always give you good advice. Now, there's a good friend of mine, he's a man of God, and he's with the Lord right now. I know he's in heaven, but he said when he found out we were going to start a World Mission Program here, Faith Promise Program, he came to me and said, "Gene, you better be careful. You get your church members so interested in foreign missions that they won't do anything at home." That's good advice to give a young preacher. And it sort of disturbed me because I wanted to reach people for Jesus and see our church grow here. The devil bothered me with that. But the Lord had burdened me as a young preacher at one time, believe it or not, Brother Joey. But The Lord had burdened me. I wanted to reach people for Christ here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. But I wanted to reach a lost world out there too. The Lord put that burden on my heart. And I believe it was, I believe it's the Lord God of heaven that whispered to me in my soul when that dear friend of mine, he was a dear friend, a good man, tried to discourage me. But the Lord's answer to my heart was, Gene, take care of my business, and I'll take care of your business. And I determined in my soul that we would obey the Great Commission here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and start sending missionaries around the world. And hallelujah, praise the Lord. The Lord took care of our business here because we were taking care of his business on the mission field around the world. We were averaging around 1970. I've got this down, 1970. We were averaging 356 in Sunday school, and we had a whopping offering, and that year offering of $52,000. And the devil tried to sidetrack a faith promise mission program in this church. But the devil's a liar. We doubled our Sunday school attendance after the devil tried to sidetrack this thing. And where we were just getting $1,000 a week, $52,000 a year, the last 5 years, we've taken in over $1 million a year here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. So hallelujah, the devil's a liar, and he tried to get me not to start Faith Promise Program here, but I'm glad we did. We took care of his business. If Buffalo Ridge will take care of God's business of reaching the world for Christ, he'll take care of our business here at home. Guaranteed. God will bless any church that's mission-minded. And let me give you one other thing. I've tried to hurry through this tonight. But let me give you one other thing. First of all, the provision predicted. Elisha said with boldness, there will be plenty to eat. This famine's over. There'll be plenty to eat tomorrow. And they were dying right then in the famine. And then the provision protested, yes, that unbelieving lord there, nobleman, said if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. But then one other thing, the provision provided. In verse 1, Elisha said, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow the famine will be over and there will be plenty to eat. Now this, I like this, it's sort of funny. And as you know, I like a good joke every now and then. But God spooked that Syrian army. And he, with some funny noises, and they thought it was the Hittites and the Egyptian armies moving in to fight them. And they said, boys, let's get out of here. Come on, paint. Let's get where we ain't. And they got out of there. You see, the Lord knows how to handle every situation. The Lord can take care of us when we just trust him. Look at verse 7. We see how God met the need. 7 and 8. See how God met the need of these starving people of Samaria. Wherefore they arose. When they heard this great noise, the Syrians took off. And in verse 7, wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight. They left their tents, left their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went in one tent, and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again, entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and did. You see, God worked a great miracle there. These Syrians were in there for a long time, had all kind of stores of food and everything. And God turned it around for his people. And let me give you four things about this miraculous provision and I'll let you go. First of all, it was a supernatural provision. Look at chapter 7, verse 6. For the Lord, now you need to see this, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. The Lord, it was supernatural. And then God intervened. It was God that intervened. This miracle was of God. Secondly, it was a suitable provision. God not only delivered them from the Syrian army, but there was relief from their famine and starvation. And thirdly, there was sufficient provision. The fleeing Syrian army left great stores of food as well as silver and gold and fine clothing. And then God's provision for the people of Samaria is a picture of the salvation God has provided for a lost world. Salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ is a supernatural provision. Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? The power of God unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Salvation is of the Lord from start to finish. Then God's provision is suitable for every person on the face of the earth. When you can preach the gospel in Mexico, or down in Brazil, or over in Russia, or in Southeast Asia. When people come to Christ wherever it is, in every culture, when he comes into a person's life, he cleanses them from sin and saves their soul and gives them hope beyond this veil of tears. And that's what everyone needs around the world. Christ alone can meet the need of the human heart anywhere on the face of this earth. The gospel has no boundaries. Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Then too, God's provision in Christ is not only supernatural and suitable, but is sufficient for man's every need. Folks, here's what world evangelization is. Here's what mission is: just getting lost. That's what missions is. And he can meet every need they have if we can just get them to Jesus tonight. As the song says, "He's all I need, he's all I need. Jesus is all I need." Jesus is sufficient for every need of every human heart anywhere in this world this evening. Now when a preacher says in conclusion, you want to be a little suspicious. No, but let me, in conclusion, on the Isle of Patmos 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John, he saw past us, and he saw on into a great scene in heaven, and he saw a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, peoples, and tongues, standing down the future, standing there before the throne of God. In Revelation 7:13, one of the elders there in heaven said to John, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" John said, "Sir, thou knowest." He said to me, "These are they." Now get the picture. "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." I'm looking forward to being in that great multitude that John saw there one day, standing before the throne of God with their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Folks, out of all these flags here, one day there's going to be people that we've sent the gospel to, sent a missionary into all these countries. There are going to be people from all these countries standing there before the throne of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved by the grace of God. I plan to be in that number, don't you? Now let me ask you this tonight. Have you receive Christ? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb tonight? I'm glad over 60 years ago I trusted Jesus. He's been a wonderful Savior. Now, if you have been saved tonight, are you members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Are you willing to sacrifice next Sunday by giving generously, putting down on the card what the Holy Spirit leads you above your tithe? And give generously week after week in the next year so people can hear about Jesus around the world. And one day they'll stand before the throne of God, those who trust Christ, from all these flags here, where we have gospel preachers, stand before the throne of God washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what world missions is all about. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. heads bowed now, it's going to maybe here tonight. You're here without Jesus Christ. If you were to die now, you'd spend eternity lost without God, without Christ, without hope. As we come to the conclusion of this service, if the Lord's speaking to your heart, it'd be a good time tonight. Brother Jody will be standing here. In just a moment, we're going to have all to Jesus, I surrender. I guess Brother Gary, something like that. And then, won't you come, if you're here without Christ, or God's speaking to your heart about something, come and talk to this preacher here. Let him pray with you and help you. I'm going to ask our people, the members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, that you know what a great mission program God's given us. And I urge you, I challenge you to pray and find out what God wants you to give. And on that card this Sunday, weekly next year, let the Holy Spirit tell you what to give. And it may take an act of faith, but just if the Lord wants you to put it on that card, how much you need, just trust Him to send it in and take care of it. And we're going to sing, and with heads bowed and all to Jesus, I surrender. And if you're not sure how much what God wants you to do on that call this Sunday, or if you want to just come and pray for our faith partners, let's close this with a time of prayer right now. Just get up from where you're seated. Come down. This altar. All to Jesus, I surrender. Come and let's pray around this altar. God wants us to do it. Faith promise next Sunday. Say, brother.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Let's get up. Let's slip out of the room. See, come down. Let's pray.
I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Displays are over there. The passports are there for the children. Brother Christian will have the stamp for Mexico. Brother Foreign, Brother Nathan will have the stamp for Brazil. So you children go get that. And tomorrow night, Brother Daniel Irvin, Brother Butch Abbott, and preacher again will be loading his gospel gun. for us. And I hope all of you will stay with us. I really do. We're not expecting you to stay long over there or anything like that. It shouldn't take a long time. You can stay as long as you want, but don't feel like there's anything planned. It's just for you to go over, just grab you a snack, walk around the displays, and you can leave at any moment, okay? So let's stand together, please. We'll be dismissed in prayer, and I hope everyone, as a matter of fact, let me dismiss all the deacons just a moment. If all the deacons will go to that classroom just a moment, I'll meet you there in just a moment, if you wouldn't mind to do that, okay? Very, very good. Brother Bob Edwards, sir, if you wouldn't mind to close us in prayer, please.